Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth.
Shabbat Shalom, brothers and sisters. And that song that she's singing about the great I Am is Ahayah Ashar Ahayah. Ahayah Ashar Ahayah. Welcome to another edition of Blueprint for Life. I am V, the preacher, V Yasha Allah, and it is truly indeed a blessing to be with you. And we wake up every Shabbat to come together, as he told us to do over this scattered diaspora, and give worship, honor, and praise to the Most High, Ahayah Ashar Ahayah, and his son, Yeshaya, Bahashem Yeshaya, and the Walk Ruach. We give praise to the Father for all things. I want to praise the Father for you, my brothers and sisters that are honoring this day with me and remembering the fourth commandment where he said, remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. This is not a day for work, any kind of work. This ain't the day we go put in the work either. So I don't know where that comes from. It's not a day for us to be lighting fires. It's not a day for us to go into the marketplace and cook. It's not a day for us to seek our own pleasure. It's not a day for our own self-righteousness. And some of us are in captivity and we have to go to work to earn money to take care of our families. We understand that. We do have grace for that. Howbeit, we do all we can to not abuse grace, and we see how we are able to move away from having to work on the Shabbat. Now, I myself, I know I was in a position where I was being forced to work on the Shabbat, took it before Ahayah in prayer, and he gave me a brand new job where I have Shabbat off, all praises to the Most High, and earning more money than I was making. So we have to learn how sometimes to step out on faith and trust him. Don't succumb to the captivity. We don't have to just give in and throw in the towel. All praises to the Most High. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Let's go into prayer. Women with your heads covered, brothers with your heads uncovered, facing towards the east, and we talk to the Father the way our brother Yeshaya told us we should talk, which is our Abba, Ahaya, which art in Shemaim, heaven, hallowed, which is set apart, be thy name. May thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, our wrongs, as we forget our debtors, those who have wronged us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from all evil. For yours, thine, is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters all over the four corners of the earth that they are strengthened today, refreshed, encouraged, and exhorted by their leadership, and that they will understand what this day is all about. But more than anything, they'll be encouraged to run a little bit further in the coming weeks. You said the race is not given to the swift or the strong, but the one that endures to the end. And I pray that this faith that comes through hearing, that they'll hear something today all over the earth that will cause their faith to increase their faith in you so that they can endure to the end. Baptize us more and more with that ruach afresh, and help these gifts that you've given us to mature so that we can do, as the song said, chase Satan and his demons out of the earth. In the name of Yeshaya, we pray. So be it. Amen. Okay, brothers and sisters, I hope you got your word with you today. Let's go ahead and get right into it. Let's get it. I'm not going to keep you long. Hopefully you've got your swords with you. We're going to do a little bit of a lesson. And as we like to do here, we kind of try to follow after the Acts the 13th chapter and the 15th verse, where the people in the city would go into the synagogues to hear the reading of the laws. They didn't have no little books to carry around like you. It was scrolls. Our history, the Hebrew Israelite history, was depicted on scrolls that depicted the sojourn of a people. And they would have to go to the synagogues just to hear the reading of the over 600 and something commandments and laws, which for us today are a blueprint for life. We are rehearsing the laws, because when he gathers us again and we go into the wilderness, we're going to be under the rod. Again, the Bible tells us in the Old Testament, and that rod is that we're going to be keeping the commandments. My mind went to the part of the scripture where it says many will be hiding behind trees, eating swine's flesh, sneaking away to get a piece of bacon, because some people are so addicted to it, and they think that they can still eat bacon and catfish and shrimp and crab and lobster and have not been able to break that habit. And they're going to have to be able to break that habit in the wilderness, or else they will be destroyed and they will not make it. So it is important, I implore you, to begin to rehearse the commandments and laws in your life and watch an evident change begin to take place in your lifestyle, your life, the people around you, and the protection from a higher that you will have. So before I get into this threefold lesson and we go to the end where we do an exhortation, I always like to start by talking about certain aspects of the law. And today, before I go into the book of Ecclesiasticus, the 12th chapter, books 1 through 7, it's also known as the book of Sirach, because many people say, well, we can do good on this day, right? Yes, but there's a certain way we've been told to do good and who to do good unto. And what we're going to do today is erase and reverse some Christian theology off of you, some post-Christianity theology off of you, so you understand how the Most High has laid out for us to do good and who to bless that we might be blessed. But the law I want to cover today is thou shalt not commit adultery. I can go a lot of places with this particular, that is the seventh commandment. There's a lot of places I can go with this because we were considered an adulterous nation because we worshipped other gods. This is why the Father was upset with us. He even had Hagar to marry Gomer. He had to marry a prostitute so he could get this message across about an adulterous nation and how he would still receive us. Many of our brothers and sisters are Hebrew Israelites, the 12 tribes. We are the only race of people and group of people that will worship all types of fallen angels and demonic spirits. We're Baptists. We're Pentecostal. We're Buddhists. We're Seventh-day Adventists. We're Jehovah Witnesses. We're Muslims. We are all over the place because we've lost our culture. We've lost connectivity with our God, Ahayah, and our commandments, our statutes, and laws. You have to understand that race, culture, and worship were synonymous. Go back and read Lost Tribes in the Promised Land. Go back and read From Babylon to Timbuktu, back into Egypt again with ships. And these people give historical evidence and documentation of how through generations the desire was to strip us away from our culture, our language, our heritage, our God. This was synonymous. There was no such thing as religion. That's made by Satan, based upon Isaiah the 14th chapter, where he said that I will exalt my throne above the nations and, you know, I'll be worshipped. And we know that he's being worshipped today in many forms, and he's coming as a sheep and wolf, a wolf in sheep's clothing. So nevertheless, we are coming back to Ahayah through keeping his commandments, because it's 1 John 3 and 4 tells us that sin is transgression of the law. And 1 John 2 and 3 tells us, these are my favorite verses, some of my favorite verses now, that we hereby do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. For if we say we love him and we keep not his commandments, we are liars and the truth is not in us. And the truth is Yeshua. For Yeshua said that I am the way, the truth, and the light. All praises to the Most High. So the adulterous generation is what our forefathers fell into because they did not want to keep his commandments. And he had to remind them, my commandments are not grievous towards you. They're not a burden. They are a barakatha, a blessing to you. These commandments will cause you to be kodesh, set apart, the word you know as holy. That's what these commandments are. And so if you want to be a peculiar nation, a chosen generation, then you must adhere to a subset of law, statutes, and commandments that will change you and cause you to be separate from the world. Hence the scripture, come out of her, my people. We don't dress like her. We don't party like her. We keep the holy days, which are feasts and festivals where we celebrate amongst our own. Okay? We don't get towed down like her. There's even scriptures where the Bible says you shouldn't be having lunch with your co-workers that are fornicators and adulterers and heathens. We don't do the things they do. Our women cover their heads. They try to abstain from wearing pants. They do all these things. They try and present themselves in a manner that's completely opposite of the way we see a lot of women carrying themselves today. But the basic overlay of the seventh commandment that thou shalt not commit adultery is between married couples. But the father wanted to say that there's a beauty and mystery of marriage that is synonymous with the church, his body, because Christ is coming back for his bride. And this is where we get the word Yeshaya. It's coming out of the book of Hosea. And that's where we see that he said, I'm going to take the name of Baal out of their mouths, out of their tongue. And they will no longer call me Baali, but they shall call me Ishi. And Ishi in the Hebrew is Yesha. And where we get Yeshaya, which means Savior. Now, we do know he's going to give us a pure language when he returns. We're not sure what we'll be speaking, but we will call him the husband. Yesha is husband, and Aisha is wife. But Yesha is where we get the word husband. And so he gives us an analogy of a marriage, which is why he's so emphatic about thou shalt not commit adultery. Now, just to show how serious he was about not committing adultery, I'm going to give you a pre-law example. Now, there were several incidents in Genesis narrative that demonstrate that adultery was understood to be a very serious offense. These occur in the times of the patriarchs over a span of about 200 years, the last one occurring more than 400 years before the giving of the law through Moses in Genesis, the 12th chapter. Abraham's wife, Sarai, which was her name before they changed it to Sarah, is taken into the Egyptian pharaoh's palace after Abram does not disclose her marital status. He knew his wife was so fine that he did not want to go through the persecution that he knew he was going to go through from them wanting to take his wife, murder him, kill him. He just said, this is my sister. We're going to say you're my sister. I'm not going to get into the implications of what they were doing. That's a whole other lesson. But nevertheless, Abram did not disclose his marital status. Ahiah inflicted serious diseases on Pharaoh and his whole entire household. I can pause right there for a second. There are many diseases in our land because of people sharing and swapping wives and talking about we have an open relationship, we sleep around, and what else is this? Swingers. When I was in the Christian church, I knew of a deacon and his wife that would go swinging every weekend. What I was trying to figure out is why they were telling me. But nevertheless, there's people in this so-called fake Christian church that give into this bias. This is why they've taken the commandments out and don't want to abide by them. I had a brother from the Christian church that I and my wife were working on this couple to get them to come into the knowledge of the truth and pull up out of that paganism, call me and tell me how upset he was because one of the deacons in the church told everybody in the church, the pastor and the girl's father, that he lost his job and he's going to jail, so I'm going to marry her. She's going to be my wife, and told him in his face. And the pastor said, oh, just forgive him. This is the kind of mess that's going on in your Christian churches where they're promoting adultery, where you got a so-called deacon telling a young brother in the church, I'm going to take your wife. I'm telling the sister, I want to marry you. I'm going to take care of you. He don't have a job. So biblically, I'm going to be your husband. What scripture is that? So this is the type of foolishness that we see and we deal with. And this is how serious thou shalt not commit adultery is. The diseases came upon Pharaoh and his entire household for the act that he was about to commit. It was at that time that Pharaoh realized it because Sarai is actually Abram's wife. And he got so upset, he rebuked Abram for misleading him, saying, what is this that thou hast done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister so that I could take her for my wife? Now then, here is your wife. Take her and leave. In Genesis 20, Abraham, renamed after his encounter with the Almighty Most High, has moved to Negev and again conceals his marriage to Sarah. A local king, Abimelech, intends to marry her. However, the Most High appeared to Abimelech in a dream and said, behold, you are a dead man because of the woman who you have taken, for she is a man's wife. That's Genesis 20 and 3. An angel appeared to Abimelech and said, "You are a dead man." I don't know what was going on in Sarah's mind while she's just being handed around and being denied as being somebody's wife. She had to be just tripping out, but she's seen the Most High intervene every time. But this second episode, an angel appeared to the king and said, "You're dead for taking another man's wife." Does that not imply how serious the Most High is about adultery and marriage and the two becoming one flesh? Because you have to remember, he had a purpose and a plan for Abraham to be the father of many nations and to be the father of faith. Because this is the man that he said, "Leave your family and go to a land that I will show you." But along the way, he made mistakes, fell short, but he kept going and getting up. And the Most High wasn't going to let anything interfere with his will and his plan being fulfilled and done. Let me say the same thing for your life before I finish up with this adultery. He's got a plan for your life. And he said, "I know the plans that I have for you." This is scripture. "To do you good and to prosper you." I don't know why we worry so much at what we see and what we go through. Our lives are in his hands. When we say that we have been so-called born again, transformed by the renewing of our minds, that means you've been bought with a price, and that's the blood of Yeshua. And when someone purchases you and redeems you, that means you no longer belong to yourself. Somebody else holds the deed. That puts me in the mind of knowing that if I'm renting an apartment, I don't have to worry about what goes wrong with the apartment because I don't own it. There's a maintenance man that'll take care of it. If I don't own the deed to something and somebody else holds the deed, they are responsible for the maintenance, taking care, and the nurture. There should be no worry and fear in your life, because Jeremiah, the first chapter, tells us that before we were formed in our mother's belly, he knew us, called us, and sanctified us to be what we are to be in the nation. The reason you are awake is because he chose you to be awake. Many are called, but few are chosen. You got people in your family that are Christians, going to church, speaking some kind of crazy gibberish, jumping around, singing, and don't have nothing. But he tapped you on the shoulder and said, "There's more to it than that." All praises to the Most High. Let us not be an adulterous generation worshiping idols. That's part of the Ten Commandments, and worshiping and serving other gods. Let us understand what our objective is. And for you married couples, know that there are an increased activity of demons in this earth. Know that lust is being perpetrated every 2 seconds in your face through music, television, and media. Women as well. This entire society promotes lasciviousness, idolatry, fornication, and adultery. So if you don't put on the whole armor of God, stay in the Word. And when I say God, you know I'm talking about Ahayah, Ashar Ahayah. Stay in your Word and pray daily. Not just the Father's Prayer. You need to cry out sometimes and lay on your face and pour out everything and just let him know how you feel, just like you talk on the phone to people. Pour out your heart before Ahayah and let him know who you are and how you feel. To keep yourself in these commandments and protect it from making a mistake on your wife, on your husband, on Ahayah. Just give me 1 minute. We'll be right back with this lesson in Ecclesiasticus. We'll be right back with that.
He wants it all today. He wants it all. There's a God that walks over the earth. He's searching for hearts that are dead, longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all, he wants it all.
Shalom, brothers and sisters. Welcome back to Blueprint for Life. This is V, the preacher, V, Yasha Allah. And we're honoring the Shabbat. We're in the middle of our lesson. Just got through talking about the seventh commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery, and what it's implying in many different facets in our life. Spiritual adultery, physical adultery, and a few examples of how Israel and their idolatrous ways caused him to commit adultery against Ahiah. So if you didn't get a chance to hear that, you can always go back in the archives. But we want to move on. We want to move on in the lesson. And we want to cover today the book of Sirach. If you got that with me, go to the book of Sirach, which is in the Apocrypha, which is also known as Ecclesiasticus. And we're going to go to chapter 12. In the second part of this lesson. And I will open up the lines. We got a brother that's going to help us do some reading. I got Brother Ray on the line. Shalom, Brother Ray, you there?
Shabbat shalom, brother. How you doing, V?
Man, Barakathai, I'm blessed. You know, it's always a blessing to make it to the Shabbat, Sabbath, and give the Most High some praise.
So be it. Amen.
Yeah. So what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and just do a little study on this book. I have a lot of people that say, well, on the Shabbat, we can still do good on the Shabbat, but I don't think a lot of us understand what it means to do good. Of course, Christ did go around. He was healing, but he healed certain people. People were assisted. He made the analogy, if your mule falls in a ditch, will you not pull it out? And there were certain things that he talked about. But I like this enlightenment that Sirach gives us, because it's going to kind of streamline us as to how we're supposed to bless and who we're supposed to bless. So I want to get into that today. So if you're with me, let's turn to the book of Sirach 12. I'm going to ask the brother Ray if you'll read that for me.
The book of Sirach, chapter 12, verses 1 through 7. When you do a good deed, make sure you know who is benefiting from it.
Hold it right there.
And what,
when it says, make sure you know. This is definitely being mentioned because a lot of us give blindly and say, well, I don't care what they do with it, what happens with it, I did my part. Now this scripture right here is putting the onus back upon you to say, know who is benefiting from what you're giving. A lot of people even see online charities and say, well, I gave to muscular dystrophy $20 and muscular dystrophy only gets $19 and the person doesn't even really get the help. Most High is saying right here in scripture, make sure you know who is benefiting from what you give. Go ahead, brother.
Then what you do will not be wasted,
Mm-hmm.
First, you will be repaid for any kindness you show to a devout person.
Okay, let me say something right there. Let me say something right there. Even it says that you will be repaid, but the key point is we don't give to get back. But the Most High lets us know that he will bless us. But he's very specific. You will be repaid for any kindness you show to a devout person. Devout. Devout. Just depending on what you know, if you understand what devout is and how many understand what devout is. So, but I'm going to let the brother keep reading and then we'll get into it. Go ahead, brother. I'm sorry about that.
If he doesn't repay you, the Most High will. No good ever comes to a person who gives comfort to the wicked. It is not a righteous act. Give to the religious people, but don't help sinners. Do good to the humble people, but don't give anything to those who are not devout. Don't give them food, or they will use your kindness against you. Every good thing you do for such people will bring you twice as much trouble in return. The Most High himself hates sinners, and he will punish them. Give to good people, but do not help sinners. That's the Rock, chapter 12, verses 1 through 7.
Okay, and what I'm noticing is that that was the Good News translation. And I'm going to go back to some of it on how, let me go back, just give me 1 second. So when it says in verse 2, it says that when we give, we're not to be worried about somebody paying us back because Ahiah promised that he would pay us back. Verse 3 is the part where a lot of people get confused on. He says, no good ever comes to a person who gives comfort to the wicked. A lot of time when we see brothers and sisters on the streets and they're begging for a dollar and we feel like, well, that's how I pay my tithes and that's how I'm blessing other people. You don't even know if that's somebody who's in that predicament because they're in another worship, religion. They're in sin. You might be blessing the hand of a Muslim, blessing the hand of a fornicator, an adulterer, a pedophile, a murderer. And you just feel like, oh, I'm helping somebody that's on the streets, homeless. And this is not a righteous act. The Most High is making it clear. It says that we're not to help sinners. Because what most people don't want to believe or understand is that the Most High hates sin. The Most High is not in agreement with any type of sin. That's something you loved in church, talking about, well, he hates the sin, but he loves the sinner. No, that's not true. That's not true. When you go on to read more of it in this chapter, like in verse 10, it says, never trust the enemy. His wickedness is as destructive, and he is as destructive as rust. He points out that we must learn how to recognize our enemies. Now, let me go back to the first part when the Most High said, don't give them food or they will use your kindness against you. Everything you do for such people will bring you twice as much trouble in return. Selah. Everything you do for the wicked man will bring you twice as much trouble in return. So we don't do good by blessing those that are not Israel or not believers. That is the important part. That's what you must take into consideration. Who and how to bless. Let me look at something real quick. Go to the book of Tobit, 2:2 for me. See if you can find Tobit. Or else I'll read it real quick. The book of Tobit, chapter 2, verse 2. Listen to what it says. I'm going to read the first verse. Tobit, chapter 2, verse 1. Now, when I was come home again, and my wife Anna was restored unto me with my son Tobias, in the feast of Pentecost, which is the holy feast of the 7 weeks, there was a good dinner prepared me, in which I sat down to eat. And when I saw the abundance of meat, I said to my son Tobias, go and bring what poor man soever thou shalt find out of our brethren, who is mindful of the Most High, and lo, I tarry for thee. Tobit had commanded his son to go and find someone who was without but worshipped the same Ahiah that they worshipped to bring them in to be at meat with them. Bible says we're not supposed to have lunch with fornicators and people that worship other gods and other deities. Breaking bread with someone is an act of intimacy, which is why we have communion and break bread and drink of the blood, and we do that together in commemoration and to commemorate what Yeshaya said. As often as you do this in remembrance of me. We're not to even bring unbelievers to our high holy days to feast with us or look at it as some type of spectacle to sit back and judge us and try to emulate us and compare it to Christmas and Easter and Thanksgiving. They're not supposed to be amongst us. And so this is a blessing in itself that he said, when I saw how much we had, I told my son, go get somebody who's poor. Couldn't even enjoy all that. Go get someone who's poor. But also, this was key, someone who is poor and mindful of the Most High and who he is. So, brothers and sisters, the understanding is this. Verse 6 says, the Most High himself hates sinners, and he's going to punish them. So don't even believe that. Ecclesiastes 12 and 7, 6 says, the Most High himself hates sinners. This is why we don't practice sin. We practice the commandments. So that lie that the church told you about, he hates the sin but loves the sinner, no. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son that, you know, all them lies that you've been taught about, everybody is welcome and come as you are. No. No. We must be believers amongst ourselves when we celebrate the high holy days and who we bless. We must bless Israel. If you don't see it, then go back and read it. It's right here. I'm not adding to these scriptures. Verse 7 says, give to good people, but do not help sinners. As soon as they are full and fat, they fall right back into the sin that they are in. They're probably a major mastermind, criminal, murderer, breaking the houses, and they're so weak, poor, and destitute, they're being punished. You fill them up, put fresh clothes on them, and they go back and commit another sin. You've got to change the man from within. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And only these commandments can change a man. You want to give something to somebody who's a sinner? Give them this gospel, the commandments, and tell them that they need to repent and be baptized and come back to the commandments. And that's what the Most High says. Brother Ray, you got something you want to add to that?
Yeah, brother. The most important thing is we got to understand what good is. Good is actually doing the will of the highest, doing the will of the Father. I was going to go to Matthew 19, verse 16, and here he's talking about the rich young ruler. And he said, verse 16, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 19, verse 16, and behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto them, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God, which we will say, Ahiah. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And there he lists down, Yeshaya lists down different commandments to tell him that if he's going to be good, do these things. And then he says, all these things I've done since my youth. That he should sell all your possessions and follow me. So we see when Yeshaya was explaining what good is, it was to keep the commandments. Now, we don't give to, as you just properly said, to sinners. If they're not going to keep the commandments, they're not going to benefit you none anyway. So the reason why we give out to the people that keep the commandments, so it can increase our Father's kingdom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. It's good. It's a good scripture. You are absolutely correct. And see, I'm thinking that a lot of people always succumb to them commercials on TV about helping some kids overseas, or they put these other images out to you, and they pull on your heartstrings. And these people have no desire to keep the commandments or to serve the Most High. They're just going through what they will call a tough time, but they're in the midst of that tough time because of their rebelliousness and disobedience. They're under the curses of Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter. We can't bless them when they're under the curses and they don't want to turn from it.
Yes, our whole relationship is with the law. Our relationship, I think, is one of the things that Paul was saying in Romans 7, the things I don't want to do, I do do. He's
mm-hmm.
telling you the law is spiritual. We see the mm-hmm. same things in Psalms 119 that we also see in Psalms 19 that the law can actually convert your soul. So these are the
That's
things
right.
that if you worship on Sunday, they tell you to stay away from. So they're telling
right.
you to stay away from having your soul converted. It's telling you to stay away from being spiritual with this thing that high gave to us, this planet, this earth. The Sabbath contains for everything. The Sabbath is not just for the brothers here. It's for every mankind, for every woman that's existed, for every animal, even for the earth itself, the planet. So when we keep the Sabbath, we're keeping everything that the Father has created. It's not just Sunday where we go out there and do what we want to do for, at best, some people might do it for 3 hours and then go home and just commit back to sin. As you said, the brothers in that one church committing fornication. The Sabbath is up. It's a way of life. It's a way to walk the way he walks. And that's the reason why we keep the Sabbath, so we can be a reflection of Yeshua and keep the highest word.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Amen to that. And I think a lot of us, even as being Hebrews awakened, we're not reflecting. Even when we keep the commandments, there is an expectation from the Most High to walk in a spirit of excellency. And most people don't understand the spirit of excellence that's throughout the scriptures. And it's the quality of being outstanding or being extremely good. It's a distinction. When we talk about distinction, you want to be distinct. Keep these commandments. Excellence means quality, superiority, brilliance, greatness, merit, eminence. All that comes with walking after the Most High. And the only way you can do that, like you just said, is by keeping these commandments. Let me read one scripture about excellence so people don't think I'm just talking. I have a bunch of precepts on excellence, and this is actually a whole other entire lesson. It says in Isaiah 4 and 2, "In that day shall the branch of Ahiah be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent." Isaiah 10 and 10. Let's go to Isaiah 28 and 29. "This also cometh from the Lord of hosts, which is wonderful in counsel and excellent in working." And I think the reason I'm saying this, that we're talking about doing good, we're talking about the commandments, we're talking about serving the Most High. The only way to truly serve him is in excellence by keeping these commandments. And even as we put on the commandments, let us be transformed and changed. Let us not look like the world or do as the world. And let us come with our best before the Most High. I believe when people came to the altar to lay down the offerings, they brought their best. We didn't come, becoming a Hebrew and waking up is not an excuse for you to not be well-groomed. You want to wear your white, want to wear your black, want to wear your mitri? Well, make sure it's clean. Make sure you're sharp. Make sure you represent the Most High in excellence. Now, a lot of that might be self-righteousness. You might say, I'm just putting out. But, you know, brothers come in any kind of way. You just represent the Most High and the commandments and what it looks like when people say, I don't want nothing to do with that, if that's what's going to happen to me. I might be, excuse me, brother, I might be on a side note right now, another tangent. But sometimes when I don't see people representing the Most High to the fullest and giving him their best, that might be a personal pet peeve of mine, but there is scripture for that as well. So I just want to say that. You got anything else you want to say?
I think you hit the nail on the head, but the one thing I'm going to finish off is I'm going to finish that scripture from Matthew 19. I'm at verse 20 now.
Mm-hmm.
"And the young man saith unto all these things, have I kept from my youth up? What lack I yet?" So when Yeshua gave him the don't commit adultery, which is so, which you started off your teaching with, no
mm-hmm.
murder, don't steal, don't bear false witness.
Mm-hmm.
The rich young ruler said, these are things I've already kept, so what do I lack? Then Yeshua said to him, if thou wilt be perfect, which we are all striving to do, go go and sell those they have and give to the poor. And the same thing that you read from Sirach, the same way you read it from Tobit, it's the same thing. We're supposed to help those in Israel, those that have that do not have. And we're not, like you said, we're not looking for reward here, because the reward will be given to us even if the person we're helping can't do it. And thou shalt have a treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. And one of the worst teachings that we have is that heaven is some faraway place, that heaven won't be here on earth. Mm-hmm. So we don't understand our reward is going to be given to us right here.
That's right.
That his inheritance is us. And he's going to come back and reward us for keeping his commandments, for helping those that are shut in, for helping the sick, and helping those that know they got to keep the commandments, to learn how to keep the commandments. That's our job, is to help the kingdom grow. So right here, then the rich Rainier ruler leaves because he had great possessions. And the only possession that's important to us, brothers and sisters, is the word. And that's what's going to help us with the most important thing is our life.
Amen. That's good stuff right there, brother. Richard Young Ruler said, that's good. I hope y'all heard that. I just want to speak on that again. He said, I'm already keeping these commandments. What else should I do? That was good. Sell all that you have and take care of your people. The whole Acts, the second chapter paradigm, was all about everybody selling everything they had and taking care of the community. This is why we want a church and a gathering spot, not just going out in the streets passing out flyers. We want a church and a gathering spot because we need to find out what needs are in the community and take care of each other. So when it hits, we got each other covered. We need to come together, exhort each other, find out what you need. I find out what you need. We sell what we have. We give offering and tithes, and we take care of our community right there. And then if you look at Acts, the fifth chapter, Ananias and Sapphira went and sold their lot. They kept some of the money to themselves and lied, and they dropped dead. They lied to Peter, and the Holy Spirit struck them down because they held back what they had. So that's good stuff, brother. So Sirach, 12th chapter, and how you tie it in with the commandments and everything. So it's even outside the commandments, we must have a giving heart to Israel, not to the synagogue of Satan. Revelations 2:9, 3:9, the Christian church had everybody sending their money over there thinking they Israel. Folks don't even know that scripture says, I will bless them that bless Israel. They don't know he's talking about the black and brown folks. They think it's them people over there that's trying to steal the Palestinian land. Nah, they talking about these folks that they shooting in the back in the streets right over here. So, yeah, I appreciate that, brother. Tawada.
Wow. Shalom. I have one more.
I hear you turning pages. Go ahead. I hear you turning pages. Go ahead.
I have one more. Just what you're saying is important. I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2. And
right,
when you go to Sunday worship, they'll twist this to tell you, and what you read is right on point. They'll twist it for you to give money out, and you have no idea what the money is going to.
Yeah.
The same way that Brother B said that we got to actually know what's happening in our community so we can help them. One of the things they did is when they did their tithing, when they did collect the banks, some of it was out of call out for the shut-ins, for the widows, the orphans. That money was actually given back to the community. But we twist the scripture to give it to some man so he can have a BMW, a house, or the elders can have things. We have no idea where the money's going to. But here we go, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1 and 2. Now, concerning the collections for the saints, what are the saints, brother? Can you explain what the saints are?
The saints are the children of Israel. And you go ahead and finish reading that. I'm going to pull up the scripture. I'll get you the precept. I'm not going to say it in my own words.
All right, like the brother said, the saints is us. That's the church. That's us, the congregation of Israel.
That's
now
right.
Now concerning the collection of the saints, I have given order to the church of Galatia, even so do ye. So what he gave to the order of Galatia, all of us are supposed to do. And upon the first day of the week, and for anybody that's confused here, and I'm sorry if you are, when he's saying the first day of the week, he's actually counting down the Sabbaths. And I'll prove that to you when we get to 8. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store. It doesn't mean to give it away. It doesn't mean to go to a church. It says lay by in store. That means to hold it. As Yahiah has prophesied him, that there will be no gatherings when I come. So right there in the first two verses, he said lay by in store. That means to hold it. So there will be no gatherings when he comes. So he doesn't tell you to come together and give it to somebody. He tells you to store it. So when they do come, you know, you'll be able to give it away. And when I come, whoever, you shall be approved by your letters, then I will send and bring you liberty unto Jerusalem. And if I meet that I go also, they shall go with me. Now I will come unto you when I shall pass through Macedonia, for I do not pass through Macedonia. And it may be that I will abide ye in winter with you, that ye may bring me on my journey wherever so I go. For I will not see you now by the way, but I trust I will tarry with you if the Lord permits. But I will tarry to Ephesus until Pentecost. And I'll stop right there. Pentecost is the Feast of Weeks, First Fruits, what we just celebrated. And he said he's going to send noble men to collect those things they stored up. Because he was gathering all that stuff for the Feast of Weeks, for Pentecost. And that was the collection of the saints. That was the collection for Israel. Not for sinners, not for those lost out in the world, but for all the poor, for the shut-in. And he was doing that for the Feast of Weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But you'll go to the churches on Sunday, and they'll read this to you, telling you to give your money now, because this is what's commanded. But he tells you to store it. And he tells you he'll send noble men to collect that money. And what he was collecting for, he was collecting for, as we will say, the Feast of Weeks or First Fruits. But the collection and what we give out is already preordained. There should be no confusion what we're doing.
Wow.
All giving for the kingdom.
Let me give this are you finished?
Yes, go ahead, brother.
Your precept for the saints, Psalms 148 and 14. Who also exalteth the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto him. Praise ye the Most High. 148 and 14 tells us who the saints are. They are the children of Israel. We are the saints. Not Saint Catherine, Saint Lucy, all that stuff in the Catholic Church, talking about we're going to make you a saint. No, the saints are the children of Israel. But brother, what you just said, I'm over here, I don't know if people know, they used to get a little quickening back in the day, but I felt like something just descended all upon me. And it starts with the book of Sirach. Man, if you don't know what is being done with what you're giving with your money, it is in error of Sirach, the 12th chapter. And the way you said it, that it has been preordained how we're supposed to give and what we're supposed to give for, and we should know what we're giving for and what it's going to. We just read it. So I just want you to know that I knew that I was going to teach this lesson, but something just came clear for me today myself. I'm blessed by this. Something just became really clear. I just got a major answer on some things. All praises to the Most High. All praises to the Most High. Man, all praise to the Most High. That Ruach is working right now. Brother Thomas. I thought Brother Thomas was out there. All right, brother. So, man, I just got to feast on that for a second. I just got some clarification in the spirit. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, brother. And it's a shame because we can look at people that are supposed to be helping us grow, lead us in the community. What's some of them ministers' name? Crowfeld Dollar, the other brother from Texas. I can't think of all their names. But they amass all this wealth with these people that are given to them week after week. And they're giving it, and they have no idea where this money is going to. But yet we can turn around and look at Israel with our own two eyes. We can look at our brothers and sisters and see that we're still suffering. That our plight, the fact that we're not keeping the commandments, these plagues are still upon us, but we're not changing nothing because we don't want to keep the commandments. We can actually see one of the things you said about our temple. We can actually see our body change by keeping the commandments. You can see an out of shape body become in shape a body. You can see the diseases, the plagues are on us, diabetes, cancers, fleeing from you by keeping the commandments. You can't.
Yes.
You won't run around with adult set diabetes if you're staying away from white sugar. You're going to have a set adult set diabetes if you're not eating all those candy bars and all that stuff that you ain't supposed to be putting in your temple anyway. So the medication they'll give you is so you can keep sinning
and you'll just die a little bit slower. But the Father said he'll give you such a greater life if you keep the commandments. The rewards, as he said, you'll be a light unto the world. Everybody will see that you're different just by obeying the law.
Well said, brother. Well said. And that's definite. Most High is trying to keep us alive. Oh, man. So I hope that that has been a blessing to you, brothers and sisters out there listening. If you didn't hear the entire lesson, you can go back into the archives and pass this around. You can download it, move this around. Freely we receive, freely we give to be a blessing to our community. But we definitely got to start doing the work, and we got to do it locally. Our people are suffering locally. You can go outside right around the corner and find Israel suffering. So we're going to have to bring this in. We're going to have to bring this in. So, yeah, you and I will be talking, brother. All praises to the Most High for the Feast of Weeks we celebrated last weekend. But also you got some people that are living on a different time frame, and they're celebrating the Feast of Weeks today and tomorrow.
Hey.
This is, yeah, actually. So I don't know what to say about that, but I will say this. Remember that it was the dispensation of Pentecost. I wish we had put more emphasis on it ourselves, but this is the time when a man who denied Christ was up in the upper room, received the gift of the Holy Spirit, and came out bold and started preaching, changed his life. And so I want people to remember that even Paul, when he was traveling, came upon some men in Acts the 19th chapter and said unto them, "Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed?" And they said unto him, "We have not so much as even heard whether there be a Holy Ghost." So let's remember and let's make sure that we have the Ruach, the Holy Spirit, operating in our lives. It's not just a commemoration and a celebration of Pentecost and the Feast of Weeks, but make sure that your temple is filled with the Spirit, that along with the commandments that you keep is transformative and gives you power. You're going to need power in this dispensation of demons, with CERN being activated and operated and the abyss being open. You're going to need some power in your life to cast out demons. He said, "Greater works we would do. Lay hands on the sick, they shall recover." We would cast out demons. Learn how to fast and pray. As the book said, that these kind come out by fasting and praying. Many disciples didn't have the power to cast out demons. And Christ said, "How long do I have to deal with this generation?" He broke it down, what type of generation they were, and then he cast out the demon. But now we've got to have that same power and operation in our lives. And just to bring it back in, to also get back to blessing Israel. So with that being said, I want to say Thawada, Brother Ray.
Thawada, brother. Your lesson was a blessing to me. The way you brought it on for adultery physically as well as spiritually, it's a true blessing.
All praises to the Most High. So I'm just going to close out saying, as I always say to the people, that the only for sure obstacle to truth is to think that you already have it. For truth is a journey, not a destination. Shabbat shalom, Barak Athah. Enjoy the rest of your Sabbath. Most High willing, we'll share with you next time.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth.
With your gun, because we left ya with your bomb.